Apple and Google's app stores have been fortresses of commerce. And then Korea fired a cannonball. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. When buying apps or making in-app purchases, you're pretty much limited to either Apple or Google systems. And those companies get an up to 30% commission on your purchase. South Korea this week passed a law that will force them to allow alternative payment systems, thus ending commissions when developers sell things directly. The new law is expected to be signed by the president. It comes as Apple and Google are under pressure from antitrust regulators around the world. It's a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. Nick Stat is a reporter at Protocol. He says South Korea's law is a big deal for developers.
For close to 15 years now, the status quo has been if you sell a digital purchase on an iPhone or on an Android device, you have to give 30% of your revenue in perpetuity to Apple and Google. And this is the first law in the world that has ever challenged that so directly.
After the law passed, Google said it was thinking about how it could, you know, comply, but they also said, you know, we've got to pay to fund our development costs. If this does go through and people avoid these fees, what kind of model might replace that?
The big store owners could offer their own payment system as an alternative alongside the third-party ones, and you might get a lot of customers that decide to go with Apple and Google's payments because they trust Apple and Google more than, say, a random app developer. And in that scenario, Apple and Google might retain, you know, a significant chunk of the revenue. Other options include Apple and Google coming up with other ways to charge developers for the services that they say they provide and that 30% is supposed to pay for. That could include a higher annual developer fee or charging developers directly, you know, per month, a kind of fraction of their revenues.
So then conceivably, developers could charge our credit cards themselves and just pay Visa or MasterCard, you know, around 2%?
Correct. Yeah, if developers were allowed to use their own payment system, they would just pay the credit card transaction fees. Or if they used, say, for instance, PayPal, they'd pay the PayPal fee, which is slightly higher than, say, Visa or MasterCard. But yeah, that would reduce the amount of money they're paying to process that transaction from 30%, or anywhere from 15 to 30% down to, yeah, between 2 and 4%.
Well, if developers do pay that 2% to Visa or and maybe some new kind of fee to Apple or Google to fund their development, could this end up just being a wash?
Yeah, there's a possibility that once you run all the numbers that they're paying the same amount of money. But I think for a lot of developers, it's this idea that they want a little bit more control over their financial livelihood and over their customer bases. In a lot of ways, Apple and Google, they control the flow of commerce on their mobile app stores. They control the information about the customers. They control what level of interaction the businesses can even have with their customers. Mm-hmm. So I think in many ways, this is about kind of taking back some of that control, even if it's not necessarily going to be a huge financial boon. It could, you know, lead to a better relationship building between customers and mobile apps and the mobile app businesses.
Apple and Google say, look at the services we provide. We do fraud protection. There's parental controls. If we have thousands of apps all with their own payment systems, could we see things getting worse for consumers?
There is certainly a possibility that this could unleash a lot of unsavory tactics on behalf of some developers that want to, you know, scam users or get users signing up for subscriptions that cost a ton of money and, you know, bill every week or every month. Right now, both app stores for Apple and Google, they have those scams. Those are things you can run into. It's certainly a possibility, but we just have no data and we have no precedent to go on because nothing like this has ever been attempted.
How can this law potentially impact the way apps get developed? Or even impact developers?
I think that we'll start to see developers experiment with more payment models. They'll definitely experiment with pricing, with how they distribute their apps, more probably micro-purchases, you know, smaller in-app purchases. But really, it's just going to be more developer choice around how they want to fund their app and how they want to sell it.
I gotta know, like, why is Korea pushing this? Why are they at the forefront?
I think there's a little bit of history there. I mean, South Korea has lots and lots of Android users because they're the home of Samsung. And this was actually a law that was not really targeted at Apple, which has gained the ire of people in the U.S. more often. It was actually aimed at Google. It was nicknamed the Google Power Abuse Prevention Law by some people by some lawmakers and in the media. And that's because I think that Samsung and Google have had tensions for many, many years. Samsung sells the most Android phones, but Google creates the operating system. So they've always kind of butted heads here and there. They've had a kind of a frenemy relationship. But last year, Google came out with a kind of a new policy clarification where they said that they were going to start taking more money from app developers. They allowed a lot of app developers to kind of skirt the 30% commission. They had a lot of exemptions. Last year, they said they were going to close those loopholes. They were going to start collecting more money. And that seemed to be the tipping point for kind of the app development community and the broader tech policy community in Korea. And they began moving forward with this legislation, which, you know, months later now has resulted in a positive vote and is preparing to be signed into law.
We've got some pretty recent news about Apple reaching a settlement with Japanese regulators, changing how developers can essentially talk to customers. What did that do, and how important is that?
Right. So that happened just recently, and it closed the investigation with Japanese regulators as a result. But what Apple did was they essentially agreed to start letting reader apps, so apps that let you consume content that you would otherwise watch or view elsewhere on your iPhone, they can now start telling customers that they can sign up within the app, and they can even link to their website, which they were not allowed to do before. It's a relatively minor concession in the grand scheme of things, but for Apple, I think it's kind of a major turning point because it's yet another move from them to try to appease regulators. And it seems increasingly clear that they're going to have to keep making these kind of slight rule modifications and changes to kind of keep up with the environment in absence of, you know, broader, more sweeping changes to their business.
And this doesn't apply to games, I'm guessing.
Games do not qualify as reader apps, but it does apply to apps like Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon. So those companies, they were already not selling anything on iOS because they were simply not interested in giving Apple any of their money anymore. So if you went to Netflix and you tried to sign up, Netflix would say, "We're sorry, you're unable to do that, but you can sign up on the internet, you know, on the web." Now, however, Netflix and Spotify, they can say, you know, you can sign up on the web and here's a link. And before, they were not allowed to do that. Apple forbid you from even including a link in your app telling customers where they could sign up. So this change won't affect any money moving around, but it will make it less inconvenient for iPhone users to, say, sign up for a Netflix subscription or to buy a Kindle book. Or if you've ever tried to rent a movie on the Amazon Prime Video app, you weren't allowed to do that because Amazon didn't want to give any money to Apple.
Nick Stat reports for Protocol. And now for some related links. Nick's written on this extensively and very readably, I might add. One of his articles in Protocol lays out a bunch of the legal and regulatory actions Apple and Google are facing. Catch up on some of the things that are keeping their lawyers up at night these days. There's no doubt selling apps is a big moneymaker. Apple doesn't share how much it takes in from its app store, but there are ways to figure out how much is flowing. A press release from the company in January stated that developers selling their apps through Apple had made $200 billion since 2008. CNBC did some back-of-the-napkin calculating to figure that means Apple grossed $64 billion last year and close to $100 billion during the 2 years before that. I'd take a 30% cut of that any day. Oh, wait, no, that's Apple. Ba-dum-tsh. To get a sense of how much the big two companies care about selling apps to their stores, you can catch up on the Epic versus Apple trial. Epic is the game company behind the wildly popular Fortnite, which has raked in money hand over pickaxe wielding fist. Epic tried to institute its own payment system, you know, hold on to more money, which got it kicked out of Apple's store. There was a lawsuit from Epic. A final decision is yet to come, and what results could be impacted by Korea's recent law. Finally, something different I decided to try. What song encapsulates this whole App Store fight? I was thinking Taxman by the Beatles. I asked Nick what he thought.
the first thing that came to mind was "We're Not Gonna Take It" by Twisted Sister, which seems like a pretty apt description.
Oh, that's so much better. All right, let me know your pick. I'm at JedSkim on Twitter and on TikTok. Just kidding, I'm way too old for that. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.